Get a deeper connection with the Cougars of BYU Sports.
God gives us a gift, and we use that gift until He takes it away.
Deep Blue.
Just sitting down afterward and being really tired and thinking like, wow, I just won the U.S. championship.
This is Deep Blue. Here's your host, Jason Shepherd.
Thank you so much for tuning in to another episode of Deep Blue, the show where we get to know the person behind the number you see on the field or the court. Today, we have Provo native, BYU star, dual athlete, nonetheless. His name is Bronson Cafusi. Bronson, thanks for taking a few minutes. I always appreciate talking to you.
Hey, thanks for letting me come on today.
So, look, you have been removed from the NFL and your playing career for a few years now. Give everybody an update as to what life is like today for you.
Got two little kids, chasing them around, getting them, you know,
chasing
bread.
Being the operative word, right?
Yes. Chasing them, getting them ready to come to BYU. No, I'm just kidding. They want to do.
But. I was going
to
say, have they been recruited already?
You know what? Funny story. As soon as my son was born, Coach Pope called me.
Really?
He's like, I'm the first offer. Like, literally, like, the next day or
look,
that
you're going to remember the first offer that you get, right?
Exactly. It was so funny because he coached me and he knows my wife too. And it was pretty funny.
So what else is going on? What do you do for you help people invest in real estate, is that correct?
Yep. Really got into that whole space in the NFL just because I saw a lot of my teammates and a lot of them didn't own real estate or know what to do with it. And so I was like, oh, I'll go out and try to learn and try to help my teammates. And so yeah, I got in with a great partner, Jason Harris, and now we're here in Provo at the Wells Fargo building, Harris Investment Group, and I love it. It's a lot of fun.
And you're also doing some sports mental toughness coaching, correct, right?
Yeah, I am. Yeah.
Okay, so tell us a little bit about that. I find that part very interesting.
Yeah, you know what? I realized when I was home that there's a lot of young athletes that struggle with confidence. And I was the same, honestly. That happened, you know, my freshman year, I had a promising year. And then my sophomore year, I kind of like went stagnant a little bit. And so then my dad told me, hey, you have everything, but your mindset on game day, you know, you're not playing as confident as you should be if you want to get to the next level. So I was like, all right. So I got into it and I got connected with, you know, the head at the time, mindset training coach, Craig Manning. And it changed my whole career, honestly. And then I realized that being here now and not playing, I saw that kids are struggling with the same thing. And I was like, wow, I've been doing this for so long. These young athletes, they need it now. And I felt like it kind of pushed it even farther, you know, down the road there, because social media, it is such a different animal now. And kids, athletes face way more now than when I did. And the mindset training can help a lot because sports is the vehicle, but the lessons you get are for life. And so that's why I started doing that. And I do weekly calls and events, and I bring on pro athletes to come speak and just to give the pro athletes a platform to speak and help the young athletes.
Well, don't you think there have been so many things that have evolved and changed even in the last 5 years, but certainly in the last 10 years. And I think the focus on the mental side of things and making sure that people from a mental standpoint are progressing as much as they are physically, I think that's been one of the biggest changes. And I think some of that is probably a lot of the stigma has been taken off that side of things.
Yeah, definitely. I feel like there's a lot of athletes that are, well, at the pro level, every athlete focuses on the mental side. But then as you go down levels, it goes less and less and less until you're down to, you know, seventh grade, eighth grade, high school, where there is nothing available. And so it's like, wow, they're the ones that need it the most, I feel like. And they're the ones that are most open to it.
Right.
And so might as well be able to train these young athletes on the mindset side and know that, wow, if I focus on my mindset, I actually will be able to play faster. I will be able to process faster. I will be able to come back from adversity faster. And it's just a huge win for everyone, the player, the parents, the coaches. And so it just has to there's a place for it for sure.
All right. I'm going to put your skills to the test as a mental strength coach.
Okay.
What advice or what type of encouragement would you give to the teenage Bronson Cafusi growing up playing football and basketball?
Oh man, that is a really good question. You know what? I was interesting because I was one of those kids that just had no really vision or goals, to be honest with you. Interesting enough, I was just out there playing.
Yeah.
I had no idea what was like, oh, I could go to college and get a, you know, get a full ride scholarship, or, oh my gosh, I can go to the NFL and make money doing this. No, I was just out there every single day with my teammates having fun. Like, I was just playing and just doing it.
So there was no real end goal. It was just you were doing what you were doing at the time.
Exactly. And that's what changed it for me, is I would say, hey, you know, what you do today matters, but it starts with what you really want. And that's what changed it for me. Because in college, I realized I want to go to the NFL. And I can go. And if I want to get there, I need to do this, this, and this. And so I would really, you know, tell my younger self, hey, what do you want to do with sports? And just own it. Because I was just out there playing and having fun and making a lot of plays and doing well, but there was no end goal. And so it was kind of interesting. I felt like if I would have had an end goal in mind, or just know that it's there, you know, I felt like that could have helped a lot of my practices and even training. Like, I never did any train, like one-on-one training, really. Mm-hmm. I just kind of showed up at football practice and, you know, just went and did it. And my dad's a football coach, right? So I just, you know, I was just always playing sports all the time, but just never really had that clear vision of what I really want, which is where you have to start with a young athlete, is what do you really want with this?
You mentioned it, obviously, the Kafusi name, well-known in football circles, athletics in general. Was there pressure? Did you feel pressure to play sports growing up because of so many members of your family having had such success playing sports?
You know what? Never an ounce of pressure.
Really?
Interesting enough. My dad and my mom, because like my mom's brother was the captain on the 84 national championship team,
yep,
Craig Garrick, and then my dad coming, right, coaching and doing, playing in the NFL, all that. And we could literally do whatever we wanted growing up. Like, we wanted to do baseball. So, I mean, I started with soccer, then basketball, baseball. I didn't play tackle football till eighth grade. I did flag football for like 2 years before then. There was no pressure. In fact, I didn't even know, like, my dad even played football. I thought he was just a football coach. he'd come home.
He had this other life you knew nothing about.
We knew nothing about it. I remember finding all this stuff, and I was like, oh my gosh, what? You played? Like, I remember when he told us we were coming to BYU, he was at Utah, you know, for about like 8 or 9 years. And we were like, wait, you played at BYU, Dad? And he pulled out his helmet. We were like, oh my gosh, no way. Like, and then we didn't even know, like, he played in the NFL for a long time. Like, so it's like, you know, this whole, we're one of those families where it was just kind of part of what we did, but it just wasn't like who we are. You know, my family was really good at balancing and everything and making sure, okay, you're gonna be at Young Men's on Wednesday night, every single Wednesday. Like, I knew I was gonna be there. I knew, you know, I knew family home evening, I knew family prayers, I knew, you know, we're gonna go do service in the community. Like, if my mom had something going on, if she signed us up, yeah, we're there. Like, and it was just really nice, because I mean, it took off, I felt like, a lot of pressure that I see a lot of other parents put on their kids.
Yeah.
But we didn't have really any. I think the pressure was just to be a good person.
So with that being the upbringing that you had, and clearly you benefited from that, is that how you intend to parent your kids in terms of that, letting them, whatever they want to do, they don't have to feel the pressure of what you or your wife did? And we'll get to that in a little bit, because you're both athletes.
Yeah. Definitely. Like, right now, my little boy, he's 4, and he rides horses. That's his favorite thing to do. So I've never done that, but, you know, I'm all for it. I go out and get him his cowboy hat and boots and let him go out there, and I'll put mine on, too.
Do you own cowboy boots?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Cowboy hat, though.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, you've got the whole outfit.
Yep.
Okay.
It's true. So we're all in. Like, that's the thing. I think that's the most important, is just no matter what they choose to do, like, we're going to go all in with it. Like, whatever it is, like, as long as you're doing something, I think that's the most important thing. I remember my mom and dad were always telling us, hey, you're going to play a sport and you're going to play an instrument. And that was that. So we always did. We always were playing sports and playing. I did the piano for about 10 years. So
can you still play?
I can still play.
The idea of being well-rounded, not just one thing. That's such a great emphasis. If you're going to put an emphasis on something, being well-rounded is probably not a bad one to choose.
Yeah. No, yeah. It's so true. Like, I even think about how my parents, we always worked. Like, in high school, I remember Friday night football game, Saturday morning, you go watch the film, and then that night, I'm at Day's Market here in Provo working, you know, and I did freight there. I was a cashier, checker. I always did a lot of, like, yard work and things with Corbin and Devin, and so I was always grateful that my parents were saw that, and mm-hmm. they knew, even though, I mean, they probably saw, like, oh, okay, he's a bigger kid. He's, you know, he's definitely, you know, doing well on the sports aspect, but they didn't just, like, shut off everything else, if that makes sense. They were like, oh, no, we're going to make sure that, okay, you're going to be, you know, active in the community with your relationship with God and your service to other people. And I feel like that's one thing that, you know, I am always grateful for when I look back on it.
Yeah. So when it came time to choose a college to play for, as you mentioned, you know, your dad had ties, you know, played at BYU, coached at Utah, family that have been at both schools. So what went into the decision to be at BYU for you? Why was Provo the place you wanted to be?
Yeah, no, that's a good question. So, you know, for me, because growing up, I just knew, okay, obviously I didn't really know about even how scholarships work, and, like, you know, I didn't know, like, okay, when I commit to this school, I'm going to be going there for 4 years, get my school paid for, play for the school and all that. I really didn't know any of that. And so for me, it was a feel thing for me. I was like, okay, what feels the most like my family culture? You know, what feels the most like what I've been raised in and what we do and as a family. And so for me, you know, when I went and visited other schools, they were so great. And I felt like there was a lot of good things, you know, little things about each one I thought were really, really good. But when it came down to it, I was like, you know what? BYU has everything from, you know, the aspects for me and my family, and, like, what matters, you know, like, what matters most to us? Well, okay, well, you know, my dad, he's always, you know, so big on, you know, your relationship with your Father in heaven comes first. So no matter where you go, that's going to come first, and everything else will take care of itself. And so, you know, that was a big deal, a big reason why I came to BYU, because I felt like, okay, that matters to me. And I felt like BYU really can grow that and nourish it. And I'm around a lot of other people that feel the same. And so for me, that was a big, big part. And obviously football is always huge, but to be around, like, great young men and great men, like, as a young man coming out of high school, I went on a mission first, then came home, and I can see why my dad was always saying, hey, even if I wasn't here, I'd still want you to go to BYU. And so and it makes sense, though, because it just aligns with who he is and what comes first in our lives.
Well, and correct me if I'm wrong, you were the number one recruit in the state of Utah the year you came out, is that right?
That's right.
Okay, so you just touched on it. You decided not to come to BYU first and then go on a mission. You decided to go on your mission first. I'm going to ask you the question, but I already know the answer based off of everything that you have just talked about. That probably wasn't a very hard decision to make at all, was it?
Yeah. Well, you know what? My senior year, I tore my ACL in high school. So I was out that whole year, my senior year. And then I go on, and then I was always having a hard time trying to find the silver lining in that situation. And so for me, I remember thinking, you know what, it's crazy, because I remember looking back and thinking, after my mission, I was like, wow, that situation, what I could control was the aspect of my time. Now, without football being in the picture, all of a sudden all this time opened up. Well, I remember the bishop came over and I got a priesthood blessing. I remember in the blessing it talked about remembering, you know, all the people around you, and, like, remembering the people that maybe you don't always see all the time. And so I remember thinking, what does that mean to me? And it was like, you know what? I'm going to be able to go and prepare for a mission now. So I used to go out with the missionaries here in Provo all the time. And I'd go, we'd feed them, and then I used to go out for, like, 3 hours.
Go on splits,
go on splits.
Yeah.
Yeah. And when I was in high school, especially my senior year, because I had gotten hurt, right? So I was had a lot of time on my hands. And so I did that my senior year. And I remember it helped me so much. It helped me so much because I was able to experience, you know, as a, you know, disciple of Christ, follower of Christ, what a mission and what being a missionary actually is like. And so I got to see people change before I even went on my mission.
Yeah.
And that was so cool because I was like, I remember getting picked up by the missionaries the first time. And I was like, who are we going to teach? Like, everyone's a member of the church here. And I don't know who we're going to. Oh, we taught the entire time. It was crazy. I was blown away. And so I had such a unique experience there that whole year prior to me going on my mission that I was like, hey, I already knew that, man, if I put, you know, what matters most first, then I'll be able to do what I want and the goals, you know, I'll have that extra strength to handle whatever comes next. And just so happens football was next. So
and the mission was to Auckland, New Zealand, correct?
Yep, Auckland, New Zealand. It was awesome.
We'll get into that and what happened when you came back. We'll touch on that when we continue. We'll take a quick break, back with more Deep Blue with Bronson Kafusi next on BYU Radio. Welcome back to Deep Blue. Jason Shepherd with you. Happy to be joined by Bronson Kafusi. And when we left things, you had gone on your mission to Auckland, New Zealand. And what I find interesting, you come home, you get back in late July 2012. And I'm talking late July 2012.
Yeah.
Immediately, you jump into fall camp with football in August. How were you able to handle that both physically and mentally? Certainly the physical part.
Yeah. That was crazy. I got home 6 days before fall camp.
That's insane.
And I remember my dad was like, hey, you're going to have to be patient with yourself because we're going to be patient with you. And I was like, okay, what does that mean? And, you know, when you're after, I mean, I went 3 years without even playing. So I showed up 6 days before fall camp and I was just out there trying to remember how to do everything and just watching and trying to be a sponge and learn. And it was awesome. It was awesome though. I jumped right into it. And I mean, because it had been so long, the main thing I just focused on was just effort and just going as hard as I could and, you know, trying to make plays where I could try to make an impact. And it was, I mean, ended up being me and Ziggy were the backups.
Yeah.
So, you know, to start the season. So, and I knew Ziggy before. And so, I mean, we were really good. I mean, really good friends right when I got home. And that was a fun year, honestly, just to learn and go from there. I mean, it was tough, but then it got tougher because then I start getting calls from my friends that I grew up playing AAU basketball with. And they're like, hey, you need to come play on the basketball team. And I'm like, well, now we're about 3.5 years in. Like, I haven't played in a basketball game for even longer. So let's see how this goes.
Well, look, and we will get onto that. I do want to ask you before we get to the basketball stuff, because I certainly want to hit on that. But you mentioned Ziggy. Ziggy was on that defense in 2012. Kyle Van Noy, obviously. Both those guys get drafted into the league. And as a freshman, you play a key role. That was one of the best defenses BYU's ever had. What was that defense like to be a part of?
Wow, that defense was incredible. I mean, I think about the practices. That's what I think about first because I know that's where we were made. The games were just like the fun part. But the practices, they were so intense and just tough. And everyone held each other accountable. And there was an expectation from every player. And I learned that as a new guy coming in and watching them and watching the different things that they did. And you know, I started to learn like, okay, like watching Kyle, like, okay, this is what playmaker does. And this is why playmakers are so important to the team. And this is how one defensive player can change an entire game. And so it's great to see examples, you know, like Kyle doing that. And then you had Ziggy and then you had, you know, great leaders like Ogletree. Danny Sorensen was on the team and, you know, to see his mental toughness. Man, we had some great players but then you also see some awesome players that, you know, that you wouldn't know, but were so key and vital to that defense. And so like to have all of that my first year was really valuable because I got to learn and see, okay, like this is what BYU defense is. This is what it. This is how it feels. This is what we do. Like, and so it was great because I believe that year we were number two in defense, just behind Alabama, just barely.
It's good company.
Yeah. So we were in a great. Yeah, we were in a great place there. And so, but yeah, it was definitely unique, and glad I could be a part of that. Honestly.
Well, as if you weren't busy enough, like you said, you're starting to get a little bit of pressure from some former teammates to maybe play basketball as well. Take me through the story on how being a part of the BYU basketball team actually became more than just, hey, let's talk about this. It became a reality.
Yeah, that was crazy, honestly. I remember getting calls from my teammates because my AAU team, I mean, I was with Brandon Davies, Kyle Collinsworth, like it was all these, Skylar Halford, like it was all these guys that people know. And so, like, I played with them a lot. And so, yeah, when the opportunity came, I remember, like, they were telling me, and then I went in and, you know, talked to Coach Rose, and then I'm like, is this real right now? And I go home, and I'm like, Dad, I got to tell you something.
He's probably worried, because anytime our kids say, Dad, I got to tell you something, we think something bad's about to happen.
Yeah, it was so – I still remember telling him. I remember I walked into his office, and – I mean, because remember, this isn't like the middle of the year.
Yeah.
And so, like, this is the middle of the football season. And, like, right there towards the end. And I'm like, you know what? I got a unique opportunity, Dad. And he's like, okay, tell me what it is. And I tell him. And he, I mean, his eyes got more excited than my eyes, I felt like, because basketball is his favorite sport. So he,
ooh, really?
Yeah, he loves basketball. So he was like, how many people get to do this? And I was like, it's a good point. And I was like, he's like, this is an opportunity. You should definitely consider it. You know, go think about it, pray about it, and like see. And so I ended up doing it. And it was, you know, I was nervous, right? Because I was like, okay, I'm going to miss. What am I going to miss on the football side? I miss, you know, winter workouts, and which is a really good time to get to know your teammates and all of that. And because it's in season for basketball.
Yeah.
But I know from doing it like my whole life that you're never in better condition or shape than when you play basketball. Your agility and everything is at like a peak. And so, yeah, I remember, you know, knowing this is what I'm going to do. Like, I have to do this.
Obviously, Coach Mendenhall signed off to allow this to happen. But I'm curious what it was like when you presented him with this.
I knew you were going to ask me that question. I was nervous. I was really nervous.
I'm nervous for you, and it was over a decade ago.
I was just nervous because I was like, man, has he ever had a player do this before? And I was like, no, I'm going to be the first one. And he had already been at BYU, yeah, for a while, about a decade already. And so I remember telling him, and my dad's like, hey, if you want to do this, then you need to go and handle it like a man. I was like, all right. So I was like, well, can you give him a heads up maybe? You know, like, and so I just remember going in there and him, you know, supporting me. He's like, yeah, if this is what you want to do, like, then you should do it. And if you feel like it's right, you should do it. And it was really cool because I love that about Coach Mendenhall, that, you know, he would let, you know, you own your decisions and run with them. And so I did. And it was a great experience, honestly. To see the difference between football and basketball at the college level, especially at BYU, like where it's such big basketball and football, it was cool. It's really cool.
So ultimately, though, you end up coming back to football permanently. Yeah. Was it just too much to deal with at once? What went into that decision to say, you know what, I'm just not going to be able to do both. I'm going to stick with football.
You know what happened was they called me again the next year, and I told them, I'm coming. They got my locker all ready. Everything's ready to go at the Marriott Center.
Yeah.
I told them I was committed. And then Coach Mendenhall calls me, and he says, hey, you know, Kyle's leaving, and we want you to take his position. And I was like, okay. So what does that entail? And he was like, well, you're going to have to learn about drops and, you know, how to play coverage and all these different things. And when he said that, I was like, wow, I need to go and really learn this stuff if I want to be effective, because now there's a gap there that I had never crossed. And yeah. So I ended up calling Coach Rose and just telling him, hey, I'm moving positions in football. I got to be able to do spring ball because I hadn't done it yet. And I want to be able to learn this new position and be really good at it. And so he understood. And he was like, okay, that sounds good. I know he was sad though. I remember. Sure. He was pretty sad. I knew my role on the basketball team, and and he liked, you know, how I kind of brought like that tough, you know, mentality, kind of come every day to practice, to work and get better. Like that's always how I viewed football and basketball, really anything. And so I felt like he definitely wanted me to come play that year, and I ended up not doing it. But yeah, I went full football, did my first spring ball, moved to outside linebacker, and then went back. And then my senior year, I went back to defensive end.
I think one of the things that I love thinking back to that time when you were playing basketball was the shots of people's eyes. Like if the camera caught their eyes as they were driving into the lane and then they look up and there's you standing in front of them. They're like, wait a minute, that's not a basketball player. There's no way I'm taking on this guy. All right. So let's talk about a certain BYU women's soccer player that came into your life. Tell everybody the story on how you met your wife, Hillary.
Yeah. So I come back from my mission and I'm on the football team. They're during fall camp, and then they have like this kickoff back to sports event where they have food and games and all the athletes from all the sports come. And I know that they do that because the athletes are going to meet each other and have more athletes that then come to BYU. Yeah. So I fell for it. She was there.
You saying it's a glorified linger longer?
Oh, definitely.
Okay.
Definitely.
Okay.
Built in. Yeah. Okay. So I ended up definitely, I was there lingering. Well, I don't know what you say. Longer. I don't know. I saw Hillary and we ended up going out, and next minute, we're married, the next year. And so
what has she meant to you? Because as we mentioned, she's a former athlete, so she understands that side of things beyond just the relationship you guys have as husband and wife. So I've got to imagine that's been something that you probably cherish, being able to have her to rely on for all aspects of your life.
Oh, definitely, because she understands a lot of the same lessons that I understand, and so being able to know, like, okay, in order to be great in anything, you have to sacrifice. You have to be super dedicated. You have to be all in. And, you also have the lessons of, okay, when tough things happen as an athlete, you just keep moving forward. And so it's very, it's something that's always been huge, huge for me. I remember my senior year, I was trying to graduate on time with Hillary. And so if I wanted to graduate on time with Hillary, my end of my junior year, I had to take like over like 16 credits, like 20 credits every semester.
That's a lot of credits.
Yeah, all the way through. And I was like, should I do this? And she was like, you should do it if you think you can do it. And I was like, all right. So I did school 24/7. I didn't take a beat off my whole senior year. And then I also had a church calling where we were in the student married ward, and the bishop's like, hey, we want you to be — I was the ward mission leader — and then he's like, oh yeah, do you want to be the elders quorum president? And I'm doing like 20 something credits. It's my senior year. It's the busiest time of my life to that point, right? And my initial take, right, is, okay, this is gonna be tough, but I know I can do it. Like, if it's like this is something I can do. And but I wasn't gonna do it until I talked to my wife. And so I was telling Hillary about it, and she was like, you know what? The busier that you get, the better you are. And so I was like, oh, interesting. Like, I never thought about it like that before. And so I ended up saying yes, and it was an amazing opportunity to serve. And it literally was the busiest time. Like, I was helping people move. I was doing doing a bunch of different things, having people over all the time, getting to know people in my ward. And I was grateful because she was, and she had her own calling too. She was so busy with her calling. And so the Lord is always gonna, if you're willing and he asks you, he's gonna create a way for you. And so I've always believed that. And that's really how it's been as far as balancing sports and, church, married life, all that stuff.
Well, your playing career certainly you became one of the best defensive players BYU football has ever had, and you were able to work yourself into being drafted in the NFL, which is just an unbelievable accomplishment. You're taken by the Baltimore Ravens in the third round back in 2016, but unfortunately, your pro career did not start off great. Tell everybody what happened to you during training camp.
So my first training camp, I was doing pretty well, and I was like, okay, well, I'm getting some more playing time, and I ended up, I had a player, fall into my ankle when I was locked out with the offensive lineman, and I just heard everything pop, and I was like, that's either my ankle or my knee. And so I remember sitting there, and I already knew immediately, like, there was something really bad because I couldn't feel my foot. And it was just hanging there, actually. I couldn't move it, and I was trying to move it, and it wouldn't move. And so I tore all the ligaments in my ankle and then spiral fractured my leg. And so I was out that whole season, actually, on IR. And just, I remember going to the doctor, and the doctor, he was telling me, he looked at my scans, and he was like, wow, this is the worst one I've ever seen. I don't know how you can come back from this. I was like, oh, great, here we go.
Thanks for the encouragement,
Doc. I appreciate that. And I remember... Hillary's sitting there because they flew us down to North Carolina to get the operation, and I remember looking at her and you know, we were talking like, man, I don't know if I'm gonna be able to come back from this, you know, like, this is gonna be tough. And she was like, no, like, this is just a bump in the road, like, who can tell you, like, what the future holds when it hasn't even happened yet? And I was like, no, yeah, you're right. And so you know, I was fortunate too because I was able to bounce back. But I had really great, like, leaders and people in Baltimore that were incredible for me to help me. And, you know, I mean, people in my ward. You had Eric Weddle and Dennis Pitta. Like, you know, you had some
not bad.
You know, I had some really good members of the church there, and great examples. And so, it was great to, you know, even though that was so tough, being out as a rookie, everything's up on the up and up. But fight back from that, yeah, and come back where you weren't even supposed to come back. It was just a, you know, great opportunity, and really, you know, to me, like, everything's faith-based when you have to come back from something tough. I don't care what it is. Like, your spirit is going to be tested, your mental side, everything. And so, I always clung to that hope, that faith, you know, that, you know, I'm gonna do everything I can, and then let's see where the pieces lie.
Well, you do come back. You play in 2017. Before the 2018 season, Baltimore waives you, but the Jets pick you up. And then when you're with the Jets, you're kind of back and forth off between the 53-man roster and the practice squad. What was that time like for you?
Yeah, that was an interesting time, because you were all of a sudden you're up playing, and then next minute you're not playing, and It was interesting because you always had to be ready. Like, that's the main lesson I would say that I took away from that experience, was you have to be prepared, because at any moment, whether you're on a roster or not, or you're on practice squad, you literally are the guy in. And they're, and your team is expecting you to perform at a high level, just as if you were the guy. So, being able to understand and know that was huge for me. And that's when my brother Corbin joined me too out there,
yep,
which was cool. So it was great to have him there.
So your time with the Jets comes to an end, and in 2021, you sign with the Green Bay Packers. That experience likely proved to be significant for more off-the-field reasons than anything on the field. Tell everybody about Christian Upoff and the experience that you were able to share with him.
And it was an incredible experience. I met Christian. He was a rookie there. He had an incredible year, his junior year, and he was on the, you know, on the draft table, and then COVID happens, didn't even get to play the next year, ends up coming out and getting picked up by the Packers. And we met just in the locker room, and he asked me, you know, people were like, man, how old are you? And I tell them, and they're like, wait, well, you're supposed to be in the league for like two more years. Like, why are you at this? And I was like, well, I went on a two-year mission to Auckland, New Zealand, and they were like, oh, okay. And Christian was in the locker room, and he heard me talking about that. Anyways, we go fishing, and then after fishing, we went to lunch, and then he's like, hey, let's go fishing again. So then we went fishing again, and the whole time we were fishing, he was asking me about my mission and asking me about the gospel, and he's like, dude, I want to read scriptures with you. And I was like, okay. So we used to go outside of the hotel there and you know, read scriptures. He used to read, you know, just chapters of the Bible. And then next minute I was like, hey, do you want to meet with the missionaries ever? And he's like, oh yeah, I'd love that. You know, have them come read. We can read the Bible together. And I was like, all right. So then we started doing that. And then we left, and we did like online lessons, like Zoom lessons with the missionaries there. And then we went back, and during fall camp, after our last game, That next morning, we had off, and it was really cool. That's when he got baptized, the last day of fall camp. It was really cool. And he ended up leaving. He had an injury. But, yeah, it was such a cool experience, honestly. Like, that was the best thing about the whole NFL. Like, seeing someone change and come closer to God, and just to be able to just be like the friend that's just there, you know, answering questions, or, you know, watching these spiritual experiences, like where, you know, he reading the scriptures, you know, came to find Christ, was so cool. It was so cool. And we're still friends. We still talk every single week. Like, we still, yeah.
You'll always have that bond.
Yeah, literally. Yeah. And so, like, we're always talking about, you know, the different, you know, different lessons each week and all that. And it's so great, honestly. Like, I hope everyone gets to experience that.
Was the transition for you from being an athlete to, quote unquote, an average Joe, you know, now you've got your job and your family, was that an easy transition for you?
You know what? It was for me. And I know it's not for everybody, but it was for me, because I knew from my rookie year when I got hurt that I can't control a lot with football. I can do my best. Like, that's what I can control. There's a lot I don't control. But then off the field, I was like, there's a lot I can control. And so I learned that lesson early on, which actually relieved a lot of pressure when I'd show up, because I knew, hey, football is what I do. It's not who I am. And, you know, when football's all done with, I know that the relationships that I've built through football, like, those things last way longer than football. And so for me, that's why I got into, you know, something where I can help my teammates or help people. That's with everything I do. I will be, you know, tying my purpose to, you know, helping in some way, helping uplift, helping edify. Maybe that's from a financial standpoint, or maybe it's not. Like, but for me, choosing the job that I want to do, you know, to be that average Joe, I was like, yeah, I'm going to definitely do something that is so aligned with my purpose, because I already know my purpose. In football, I know it's a great thing, but it's not my true purpose in life. So for me, a lot of athletes, a lot of football players, when they're done playing, they try to find out who they are and their purpose. And if they would find it out before, that transition would be a lot easier, honestly.
What's the future hold for Bronson Kafusi and your family? What do you think?
You know what? We are here living life here in Provo, and I think just growing our family and having those experiences and just filling them up with moments with each other. I think that's what we want to do, and, you know, helping others. Who knows? Maybe I'll coach a football game here or there with my son if he ends up playing, or whatever he ends up playing. Or, yeah. Maybe it's horse racing the whole way from
there
now on.
There you go. That's
but,
right.
Yeah, yeah, we'll see.
You got to keep those cowboy boots and get that hat ready.
Yeah, you never know. I might have to go learn it myself and get out there. So
that's right.
We'll see. I don't know. Just growing our family and helping a lot of people, I think, is really what I can, you know, foresee.
Bronson, beyond anything that you have done athletically, and you are an absolutely unbelievable athlete, you are an amazing person and human being, and I cannot say thank you enough for doing this today.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
You bet. Thanks once again to my guest, Bronson Kafusi. My name is Jason Shepherd. This episode was produced by Ben Hall and Josh Bergstrom, with senior producer Cleon Wall. You can download and subscribe to Deep Blue on all podcast platforms, or find all episodes on the BYU Radio app. Deep Blue is a production of BYU Radio.